So most religions trade in beliefs. It's very important to read the book, know the story, believe in the particular God or embodiment of God or set of gods. Do various rituals. Certain actions that your faith tells you will lead to a happy place someday. Usually, not in this lifetime. Now, that's not the kind of faith that I'm talking about. The faith that I think is helpful to us here practicing Zazen is something more akin to a leap. You might call it a leap of faith. Or perhaps an act of faith. This faith involves not picking up something, some formulation, set of practices, a belief system. This leap of faith is more about letting go of something. Letting go of what? Letting go of all the strategies, formulations, identifications, steps, hopes, habit patterns of the past, seeking for something in the future, all these things that occupy our mind and block from our view our actual true self, true actual self. So the ordinary understanding of faith, as I've just described, which is really belief, is just adding to all of those other things. Maybe manipulating them or warping them in a certain direction, molding them in a certain direction. So we trade one more painful and dysfunctional set of beliefs for another set of beliefs that hopefully will bring us to a happy place. And that's not what Zazen is. So Zazen is more of a leap. It's a sudden jumping out of a net, putting down a heavy burden that we've carried for lifetimes, including this lifetime. Now, I've described ways of getting there, but the first thing to understand is when you take this leap, you're not leaving something behind so much as opening your eyes to it. There's a strategy there. There's a fear there. There's an identification there, something blocking me, trying to get to a clear place. I know it's there, but I don't know how to find it. Reminds me of this song back in the early 70s, maybe late 60s, during the Vietnam era. It was called For What It's Worth. And the first line of the song is, "Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear." We have this sense it's not clear. There's something happening, but it's not clear. I'm caught in a stream of thinking, stream of ideas about myself, about the world, about my circumstances right now. If I could just resolve this, that, and the other thing, then I could do some good zazen. We all know how to do that. How do we take this leap that must be done initially? This is not down the line. It's not a set of practices, rituals. Someday we'll be ready to stand on the edge of the cliff and jump. We have to do it now, immediately. We have to see clearly that that is going on. These formulations, these names, these comparisons, thoughts, they are not blocking us. Only the way we deal with them blocks us. They themselves are innocent. They do not block us. When we give them meaning, however, and chase the meaning, then we're entering the realm of belief, believing that I'm thus and such a kind of person. I have thus and such strengths and weaknesses. I've tried for so long and I didn't never get anywhere. All these different things. Or I'm a really cool person. All the other positive things. It doesn't matter. Because whatever it is that we identify with, we're missing what we really are. Remember, we talked before about this true self. What is this true, authentic, real self? This reality self, not a made-up self. Something happening here. What it is not exactly clear. I don't know how to get there. How do I do it? You have to start exactly where you're at. This is the leap of faith. The very feelings, the very thoughts, the very habit patterns, we observe their sensation. What is that? Sensation. What is sensation? What is the sensation of a thought? What is the sensation of an idea? What is the sensation of a belief about myself? What does it actually feel like? What is sensation? What can we say about sensation? Sensation is actual, real. There it is. It possesses nowness. There's no sensation in the future or the past. Sensation is only now. So part of this leap of faith is to enter now, exactly as it comes. Now, if we pick and choose, we can't do that. If I'll only enter the now when I feel happy, when my mind is settled, when there are no thoughts, then we can never enter the now. We will constantly be battling with these things and getting tied down by them, bound by them, stuck down by them. One term that I've used before that's famous is trying to wash off blood with blood. Doing battle with the battling, and then it just pulls you down into the mud. So the very first step, when we first sit down on the cushion, the third bell rings, your hands are in the mudra. What is your condition right now, exactly as it is? Observe its sensation. Sensation. It's immediate. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you're afraid of it. But it is in the now. It is the entryway, the doorway. This is the leap of faith. You let go of all your strategies, plans, and designs that will help you get rid of what's right in front of you, Basically, that's what a lot of religion is. You let go of that. That's the leap. Remember what Yaiko Iwasaki said? This 27-year-old frail Japanese woman back in the 1920s wrote a letter to Harada Roshi after a series of deep enlightenments on her deathbed from TB. What a relief to discover that just as I am perfect. Just as I am. What does that mean? Everything is perfectly shining, manifesting this now. Let me read you something from Yuan Wu. So, as a reminder, Yuan Wu was a great Zen master. From the period just at the end of, or maybe just after the Tang Dynasty. And in the year, I think it was 1100, 1110, somewhere around there, he published a book that has become arguably the most famous book in Zen Buddhism, the most treasured book in Zen Buddhism, the most profoundly held book in Zen Buddhism. The Hekigan Roku, the Blue Cliff Record, he was the publisher. He assembled the koans, made comments. There was another master that worked with him, Secho, made other verses and things like that. So this is Yuan Wu, great Zen master. So this is what he wrote. This is a letter. There's a book here, I've read from it before. It's called Zen Letters, Teachings of Yuan Wu. And this is one of the letters. It's very brief. And I'll read it. So this is called Self and Things. Self and Things. So he says here, all the myriad things are neither opposed to nor contrary to your true self. Directly pass through to freedom and they make one whole. It has been this way from time without beginning. And you could just stop right there and end the tesha. All the myriad things, this includes thoughts, feelings, neuroses, bird tweeting, incense smell, fan spinning, pain in the knee. All the myriad things are neither opposed to nor contrary to your true self. All the myriad things. Directly pass through to freedom from what? Remember that leap of faith. All the strategies, all the plans, all the prayers, all this stuff. To change what is now into something better, something happier. He says, directly, take the leap, directly pass through to freedom. And they make one whole. It has been this way from time without beginning. The only problem is when people put themselves in opposition to it and spurn it, and impose orientations of grasping or rejecting. Remember what we said about beliefs, religions, practices, rituals. The only problem is when people put themselves in opposition to it and spurn it. And impose orientations, okay, get this, orientations of grasping or rejecting. How we're doing that so frequently. Orientations of grasping and rejecting. It's that the action of grasping and rejecting becomes so habitual that it is actually an orientation. it feels almost hardwired, like we're stuck in it, we can't stop it. Creating a concern where there is none. So, that song again, something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. And then the song brings out a certain kind of fearful sense. I remember that. They called it the age of anxiety back then. There's a man with a gun over there saying that I have to beware. So fear is always a part of this confusion, this grasping, rejecting, this orientation. If you can cut off outward clinging to objects and inwardly forget your false ideas of self, things themselves are the true self, and the true self is itself things. Things and true self are one suchness opening through to infinity. Maybe I should stop here. Cutting off outward clinging to objects. What kind of object would that be? Is that a real object or a make-believe object? Is it something flowing, ever-changing, only in the now? How can you cling to something only in the now that's always changing? Impermanence. How can you cling to that? You cling to an idea, a fixed idea. It can be an object, can be some treasured object, a beautiful brand new car, clinging to it. I remember when I was young, I was a late teenager, and my aunt bought me a brand new bicycle. And it was a racing bike. It was in my basement. I went downstairs, brand new, I hadn't even ridden it yet. And I was just standing there admiring it. And I was not a Buddhist at this point. I hadn't done a moment of Zazen. I was staring at this bike and admiring it. The clinging and the attachment. You know how you just love this new thing, you want to keep it that way forever? One friend of mine says he gets cute about it. You get cute about it, you know, licking it and buffing it. And then all of a sudden I realized something, because I was very scientific-minded at that time, that what this bike actually was were countless atoms and subatomic particles buzzing around, some of them leaving the bike, some of them entering the bike. The bike was constantly changing and deteriorating, that from the very minute it was constructed, it was already aging. You couldn't hold on to it. It could not be possibly, in quotes, new, in the sense that I wanted it to be new. In that sense, something to cling to. He said, if you cut off outward clinging to objects and inwardly forget your false ideas of self, of an entity standing apart with characteristics, stuck. That's not a problem, but we identify with it. All these stuck things, all these ideas, all these habit patterns, they're not a problem. Remember what he said, all the myriad things are neither opposed to nor contrary to your true self. It's our identification with it that is actually deepened by our opposition to it. So the more we fight it, the more stuck it gets, because when we begin to fight it, we're fighting a stuck thing, something that doesn't change, something that looms in front of us, confronts us. If we were actually to examine this thing that we've been fighting, we'll see that it doesn't stay the same from one nowness to the next nowness. It's constantly new and changing. You go to grab it and your hands go through it. In that sense, it's empty of fixed nature, entity-ness, this thing that we identify with, standing apart with characteristics. So he said, if you forget your false ideas of self. Things themselves are the true self. Things themselves, things, all sorts of things, sounds, smells, thoughts, emotions, habit patterns, car, fan, incense. Things themselves are the true self, and the true self itself is things. Things and true self are one suchness, opening through to infinity. There's no border to it. It's one continuous, he says, suchness. In physics, they call it the fabric of space-time. It's all interconnected. Dependent arising, as they say in Buddhism. You can't separate out any one thing and have it stand apart. One suchness, including the so-called knower. The knower and the suchness are one thing. He goes on, he says, then at all times, whatever you may be doing, it stands like a mile-high wall. Where is all the trouble and disturbance? A mile-high wall. It's this leap of faith is suddenly leaping out of the belief business, the conception-making business, the strategy business, suddenly leaping out of it. Entering into your actual now, this actual flowing now. It's very steep. There's no way for concepts to grab hold of it. Therefore, you can't climb it with the ordinary tools that you've always worked with. Ideas, concepts, strategies, they don't work here. Stands there like a mile-high wall. Where is all the trouble and disturbance? Time and again I see long-time Zen students who have been freezing their spirits and letting their perceptions settle out and clarify for a long time. Now, this is true, and this is an aspect of Zen training. It's not to be poo-pooed, ignored. It's very powerful. We call this penetrating Zazen. Going back, 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 turning the light of mind in on itself. Going to a place before color, sound, taste, touch. But it's not the whole story, and we can get caught there and stuck there. This is why it says long time Zen students. It's not a beginner's practice. Time and again I see long time Zen students who have been freezing their spirits and letting their perceptions settle out and clarify for a long time. Though they have entered the way, they immediately accepted a single device or a single state. This is very important, the samadhi. It's precious. It's healing. But it's not a place to rest and cling to, because then it turns into an idea. It turns into a belief. It turns into a ritual. And now they rigidly hold to it and they won't allow it to be stripped away. And then he says, this is truly a serious disease. To succeed, it is necessary to melt and let go. Melt and let go. So some writings have described the process of awakening as an ordinary sentient being is like a block of ice, an enlightened person is water. And there's really no difference between ice and water. It's just the water flows and ice is stuck. Ice identifies with characteristics, thereby standing apart, and can't enter the flow. Enter the flow. So this flow, let me just see if I got to pick up this one last sentence here. So he said, to succeed it is necessary to melt and let go and spontaneously attain a state of great rest. Great rest. The whole burden is put down. And it's like we've been standing on a bridge overlooking a river, and the river flows past. The river is all the events of life, all the emotions, feelings, situations, experiences that all seem outside confronting us, and we stand there as an entity separated. And then we take this leap. We jump into the river and just float with it, let it carry us. And this we need to do when we first sit down, when we first cross our legs. This is the leap of faith we must take. Then we observe very closely sensation. We observe it, watch it. Say sometimes like a cat watching a mouse. Just watch it. Watch it. Now, if your practice is breath, you watch the breath. You start from this confusion of feelings and emotions and plans, and you notice the sensation of that, and you merge it, okay? Take your time. Be very painstaking. Notice the sensation of the opposition, the clinging. Something happening here. What it is not exactly clear. So observe it, the sensation of it. Do not fear it. Just like Su Yun always said, do not fear false thinking. If you fear false thinking, you make false thinking worse. Don't fear it, observe it. See its sensation side and let go of the meaning, just for now. Just say, I'm sitting now. I can allow these thoughts, the sensation of them flowing. I'm just going to put down the meaning just for now. Just put down the meaning. And then I merge it into my practice. So if my practice is breath, I bring it into the breath. Remember this one suchness that Yuan Wu talked about. There's no dividing line between thinking and the breath, and the feeling of wind on your arms, and the sound of a car going by, and the smell of incense. There's no dividing lines except for the names we give these things. They come as one suchness, one fabric. And then we bring it down to breath, and we observe it intently, intently. Why? We are entering our true self, our now self, our actual self, not an idea, our actual self. Now, if it's mu, it's the same thing. Rather than doing battle with one thing, another thing, you know, constantly analyzing and trying to figure it out and what's awakening and all. We just say, mu, that's it, mu, done. As I described to one student here, it would be like an alcoholic. The ordinary way would be to battle the urge to take one more drink, one more sip of vodka, one more beer, one more glass of wine, constantly battling it, or just simply take an antabuse and be done with it all. If I drink, I get really sick and I could die. Take the poison, as they say. Mu. Enter. Mu. This. Actual. If mu is there, there's no room for all the other activities. Mu stands like that mile-high wall. And you're not left back in the clinging, confusing strategies, identifications. You enter this flowing moment. This is that leap of faith. I'm going to just read again, as I've read so many times, maybe to close. One of the ox herding pictures, just so beautiful, to describe this leap that you take. You leap into your true self immediately. Don't leave it down the road. Do it now. Enter it right now. So this ox herding picture is the third one, and it's titled The First Glimpse of the Ox. Now the ox, you could Substitute for that word true nature, actuality, reality, truth with a capital T. Not truth as it's conceived in the mind, like a truth. If she will but listen intently to everyday sounds, okay? See how this is pointing now. If she will but listen intently to everyday sounds, she will come to realization and at that instant see the very source universe is cooperating. Sound of a car. The six senses are no different from this true source. You know the six. Seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, and thinking. That's a sense too. In other words, the sense not of creating thoughts and chasing them down, but your ability to sense thinking. You can sense it. These six senses are no different from this true source. In every activity, the source is manifestly present. Manifestly, not hidden. You sit down and it's right in front of you, right there. Don't waste time. Enter it immediately. It is analogous to the salt in water. You had salt water, let's say ocean water. You can't take the salt out of the water, take the water out of the salt. It's salt water. It's one thing. It's one suchness. In every activity, the source is manifestly present. It is analogous to the salt and water, the binder and paint. Now, you might say this source is its fact, its now-ness. Everything is showing nowness. Everything. A spinning fan, a watch, a bird on a branch. It is nowness. Like Dogen said in Being Time, Being Time is a 16-foot golden Buddha. Is a 16-foot golden Buddha. When the inner vision is properly focused, one comes to realize that that which is seen, that which is sensed, that which is smelled, that which is felt, that which is thought, is identical with the true source. And then there's a poem. A nightingale warbles on a twig. The sun shines on undulating willows. There stands the ox. Where could he hide? That splendid head, those stately horns. What artist could portray them? Portray. Okay. I think I've already said way too much. And we'll end there today.